We are back with season three of the Business of Drilling podcast. You're here because maybe you're interested in business, entrepreneurship, and seeing the full scope of dentistry. Unfortunately, we don't always have the time in school to have these talks, but the truth is these conversations are going on all the time. So let's have one right here, right now.
Here's a sneak peek of what we have today.
And that connection actually is what creates value, because when people like you, they start listening to you. And when they listen to you, they then have the ability to trust you. And when somebody trusts you, they'll do whatever you want them to do.
Okay, and welcome back to another episode of the Business of Drilling podcast. Today I'm here with Elena and Seb. Seb, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing okay here on a Sunday morning. Elena, how are you?
Excited to be here.
Yeah, this is actually our first podcast together, so it's kind of nice to get down off the bucket list. And today we have a very special guest, Dr. Azeem Sheikh. Azeem, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, man. Super pumped, super excited to be here. So thank you guys so much for the invite.
I'll give Dr. Azeem a chance to introduce himself properly, but anyone who's even remotely thought about placing implants in Ontario basically knows who this man is. He's basically an implant wizard. Sometimes you see his posts on various Facebook groups of some crazy cases. But Dr. Azeem, I'll let you give a proper introduction to yourself. You've been in the profession, I think, almost 20 years. You're a Western grad in the heart of GTA, basically killing it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, let's be honest. I'm just a brown guy trying to make a living, man. That's it. That's my description. Serious. No. So to be honest, I mean, I graduated 2003 Western. Love being here to support my fellow Western, grads or recent future grads. And then just started practicing in GTA in 2003. Opened up or bought a practice, an existing practice in 2005. Started my implant career back in 2005, and then opened up my clinic called Brampton Dental Arts in 2009. So I've been practicing for a really long time. I don't like to be reminded how long I've been in the profession. But since then, just been doing different things with not only just practicing day to day, but also doing some lecturing and speaking for other companies. And then just growing my skills, you know, trying to get out there and do the things that I love, which is now education in a couple different avenues. And then running a study club for a bunch of dentists locally called the Ontario Dental Implant Network. So yeah, just super pumped to be here, man.
Absolutely. And first of all, thank you for your time on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Not a lot of people would sign up for that slot, but that's the only one basically I had to give you. And you were more than kind enough to give us your time. So thank you with that.
Oh, it's all good, man. My billable rate is double. So it's all good, man. I'll be looking for that check in the mail.
We're working with a very limited budget from the Western Club. So most I can give you is maybe an Amazon gift card.
All good, man. I'm just bugging you. I'm just totally happy to be here on a Sunday.
Okay, great. So I remember briefly when we spoke a few times, the first couple years in terms of your associateships and when you first started, you said those were super instrumental in really, honing your skills as a clinician, but also understanding the business aspect of things. And those are a few things I want to touch here. One thing that was that you really stressed to me was, and you stressed to basically a lot of clinicians, was if you're not getting kind of the results you want from your patients or from your clinical results, it's a lot of it comes down to creating value, and you're basically not making the connection that you're not having your patients see the value that you bring. I know it's not a really a tangible aspect, but could you kind of touch on that? Because I really want to kind of go deep into what that really means, what to create value in dentistry.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's super, super important to talk about that because, as a new grad coming out or even just a dentist who's been practicing for many years, you look at some people and you wonder, like, how are some doing better than others? You know, why? How are some excelling more than others, or just enjoying things more than others, or able to find their passion? And it's really interesting when you speak to some of those people, because I have a lot of them just have this ability to kind of put everything aside and just truly kind of hone in on connecting with the patient. And one of the things that I learned really on is, to be listenable to, you have to be likable. Like, if you want people to listen to you, if you want your patients to listen to you, then you got to be likable. And not everybody, has the Russell Peters humor that I have. you know, or the great looks that Bhavya has, you know, it's at the end of the day, you got to find really what works with you, because patients, every single day you're going to see them. And we know that they're terrified. They don't want to be there. You know, they come in and they tell you how much they hate you. And honestly, there's some patients I'm like, I hate you too. You know, and then they look at you like, how could you say that? I'm like, you just told me you hate me. You know, and you turn it into like a laughing thing, right? But you know, it's all this negativity that we're faced with every single day. And then you add the fact that now, you know, you're an associate, you know, you're getting out, you're trying to pay your bills, you have this big debt, you're trying to make an impression on the team that you just joined. So whether that's an office manager who just thinks they're a dentist, you know, or whether that's the senior who you're working with, who may not be doing the best work, you know, there's all these things that we're struggling. But I think what it comes down to is all of these people who are doing well, I don't mean even financially, just enjoy what they're doing, have this fundamental thing about just being able to connect with patients. And that connection actually is what creates value, because when people like you, they start listening to you. And when they listen to you, they then have the ability to trust you. And when somebody trusts you, they'll do whatever you want them to do, right? I think that's like super, super important, is building that trust. And for me, I have maybe 10 minutes to do that in a consultation. And there are ways that I've actually taught, you know, with the case acceptance seminars and this and that, on how to really, you know, hone in on that and create the value. Because patients can go somewhere else and spend money either in somebody else's office or on their nice kitchen, right, that they want to renovate. So we have to figure out, how do we create the value for oral health? And it's not focusing on the education, although that's what a lot of people say you should do at first, but it's really building the connection so that you can allow somebody to like you, and then to be able to trust you. And then you can start educating them and then creating the value for oral health. I don't know, does that make sense? I hope it does.
No, absolutely. It's kind of reflective when I hear that, because I've shadowed it in a good amount of offices so far, and the skills I always get taught, like whenever I ask the owner, hey, what skills do you think a new associate should have? Clinical skills, obviously, we're still newbies and learning, you know, getting our skills under our belt. The first three skills are always people skills that they highlight for me, is someone that you want to work with or someone that patients want to see. You have to be likable, trustable, and you kind of have to you know, like the patient has to be comfortable in kind of submitting themselves to you, to kind of put it in a diabolical way.
You also have to believe in yourself. Like you have to believe, and it's hard kind of as somebody just coming out, you're just trying to get your bearings, you know, you're trying to figure out, you know, where do you fit into the office? And so that also comes with some level of experience, but I think most of us have realized that it's not so much, of course, we want you to be clinically good. And as an associate, that's kind of what I did when I first graduated. I said, I just need to find a place that's going to allow me to kind of help to grow my skills, right? And it just so happened to be a place where all I did was extractions and root canals. That's pretty much all I was doing day in and day out. And that helped me to kind of grow, I guess, or love kind of surgery. So, I mean, I think that's kind of where it's important to focus on not only your clinical stuff, which everybody tells you, you got to get better at, but also like every single time you walk into that room with the patient, you know, you got to remember, like, they're terrified, you know, they don't want to be there. And what are you going to do right off the bat? Not talk about the root canal or the filling that they need to do or, you know, this and that, but it's like, how are we making that patient feel comfortable? And it's something.
I just want to kind of dive a little deeper. So how do you become likable within 3, 5, 10 minutes? I know you mentioned maybe there's some strategies that you've learned or that you've taught, but as Bob was saying, value and I guess being likable as well is something intangible and something hard to describe, especially because it's so personal to you as a clinician. Could you maybe talk a little bit about how maybe you make yourself likable or what strategies there could be?
Yeah. And you know what, that's a super great question. And you know, the first problem, especially when we start working in an office, is that we're super quick to start blaming other people. When at the end of the day, you know, people say, well, it's my team, you know, that isn't, my assistant is like rude, or, you know, the patient is like a really, really difficult patient. I'm sure you guys have heard that before, right? like the patient's super hard. And no matter what I do, you know, like I just can't connect with them. And so I think, you know, the first thing is just realizing that it's us. Like we have the ability to be able to, we have to start on ourselves, right? And we're very quick to point the finger like that, but there's always three fingers pointing back at us. So what are we going to do to change, right? And we know that people can change, but doesn't mean that they're going to, right? And it's, and Steve Jobs said it really clearly in, you know, I think before he passed away, he had a nice, he was giving a talk to some people at Apple. And he just said, like, you actually have to be insane to do better in any profession or to excel, because the world is just trying to push you back and do the things that you just don't, that you want to do naturally, but aren't what's really the best for the patient. And insurance is going to be one of those big things that always drives, you know, dentists and many offices to kind of focus on, not patient, you know, patient care. So it's really just about like focusing and understanding that like we have to put ourselves in the position. How can we change ourselves to adapt? And some of the things that I use, and there's a few things, is just trying to establish a connection with the patient. And you got to figure that out. And I used to sit in a room just with my own family and say, okay, you know, give me like 30 seconds. Within 30 seconds, like, do you like me? Right? So I'll just walk in. I start talking or chatting. Did I project warmth? You know, did I have a smile? Did I maintain eye contact? Did I give them my full attention? Or was I, you know, not looking at them all the time? Was I proactive? You know, like touch. These are all things that I also use. Like, you know, now obviously with COVID, we're unable to really touch or put your hand on a patient, but we're starting to get back to that. Compliment people, you know, find common ground. Like these are all, you know, all things that I find I use on a day-to-day basis to just really try to establish that connection. And I think that's really important to do with people, especially you don't know, is just to sit around, you know, we even with a group of friends and say, okay, guys, we have 60 seconds. In 60 seconds, you talk to me and you establish a connection and see what they say. Like, did I really feel like you were listening to me? Did you really feel that I was likable? Was I somebody that you could trust? Ask them that, right? And these are exercises that I actually have done and I do with other people.
I could say even for dental students right now, I'm almost using this as a practice ground for that, because I find that when the patient comes in, as the student, you suddenly become their advocate, because everyone else around you, all the instructors, they have their own timeline of what's going on. And so I kind of set myself up for that, thinking, okay, how can I connect with this patient and be their advocate today? Because everyone else is going to push you as you're here. So for example, if you have a smoker and you have your clinical instructor come in and they start the whole smoking cessation talk, and you say, hey, actually, there's a reason this patient is smoking, and I understand why he's in this place and he's trying to quit. But it's just showing that you've acknowledged why the patient is there. You've made that connection. You're trying to like process that, all the information that they've given you to share. So I'd say like for students right now, anyone who's listening, there's a chance to start that immediately, like September clinic start, to try it out, you know?
No, I think that's awesome. Absolutely. Totally. I mean, that means you really get it. You really get that you're putting yourself in the shoes of the patient, and that's super important, because then they just trust you and then they like you, right? And now they're more amenable to hearing what you recommend as a professional, right?
It's like a positive feedback loop. As soon as they're on board, you're more on board. Everyone around you is on board. Makes it easier.
Mm-hmm. To kind of piggyback off Elena's story, one of my philosophies is I feel like not even patients, but just people in general, everyone kind of has a story and people want to have their stories heard. And one of the common grounds I feel like for humans basically is people love affirmation. They love feeling important, even though in reality, we might not be. But we love feeling important. And I think if you can give that to the actual patient in some way, it just really gains the trust like almost instantly. And I guess to ask Dr. Sheikh a quick question, in the GTA, you're kind of in the heart of Brampton, which is probably one of the tougher dental markets, Mississauga, Toronto, being some other ones. Do you find that there's a certain amount of patients that are just kind of, you know what, like I don't really care about the that soft skill side of things. I just want the work done, and I want the work done well, and that's why I'm here. Or do you find out like that there's a dichotomy of patients, or do you prefer to just kind of have the patients that are a bit more receptive to that?
I mean, I think what in my particular office, it came down to kind of, you know, in essence, building, like having a vision, right? Like having a goal for what type of practitioner did I want to be, right? And so associating, I quickly realized that insurance played a large part in the dental practice. And that really scared me because I started seeing myself transition into what I learned in dental school, which was oral diagnosis, take the patient through, you know, the perio, like look at the foundation first. And unless it's an emergency, like you got to treat the foundation. And then you move on to other things like restorative and crowns and implants and all that. And then I'd be seeing these patients come in and like their perio was a mess, but they were there to have a crown done. Right. And I'm like, what is going on? What's happening? And then I'd go out to the front reception and she'd be like, they don't cover any cleaning units, but they cover crowns. So that's what you're doing. Like, come on.
Right. I mean,
it's insane. And I can tell you with good amount of confidence that it's still going on. That's still the prevalent, unfortunately, in the industry, like insurance is driving things. So I quickly just realized, like, I knew I was going to be in Brampton. That's kind of where I had bought the practice. And I looked for a certain demographic specifically because I had a clear vision when I first started out. The vision was that I'm not going to jeopardize my treatment goals. I'm not going to jeopardize what I want to do as a clinician. I want to do what's best for the patient. And I want to do it like we, to a certain degree, did in dental school, which is take them through a comprehensive oral diagnosis and then go ahead and treat the patient. And I can tell you, we don't get a lot of new patients, right? Like we don't, because patients will call and say, I want a cleaning. I'm like, okay, well, how much buildup is there? Right. And they can't answer that question. I'm like, well, then I can't do your cleaning. But the other office said that I can come in and have my cleaning done. So I'm going to go there. Right. It's really, really difficult. But for me, I think it started off with a goal, a vision of, hey, I'm going to do the best. I'm going to cater to the clientele that wants the best, but I better make sure that I can provide really good service. And when they come in, I better provide good quality care and good bedside manner. Because honestly, other than my great Pakistani good looks, I have nothing else going for me, right? So I was able to build my office and my team around that vision. And I find most people don't have a vision or a goal. If you don't have a goal, then you have nothing to strive for. So my vision, my goal was I'm going to be doing $50,000 or $60,000 cases here every single day. So how do I build that office so that patients who come here have a great service, great experience, I created the value, and now they can trust me to spend that money there. So I think that's, and it was tough. Like we lost a lot of patients because we stopped taking assignment. Like people now, like we're paying for their service, right? And it was difficult, but I was working about 70% less, making about 150% more than most people around me. And it's just a matter of being unique and different because there's so many offices that were taking assignment, so many offices that are writing off, so many offices that were insurance driven, that it only takes one office in that area. You still do well. You'll do extremely well, right?
When did you start to feel this vision for yourself? Was this right as soon as you came out of school or something that happened once you had purchased the practice? Where did that come from?
Well, it really came from me being an associate. I got really scared as an associate when I started working because when I started working, why I was hired on was to do root canals, not realizing that the work that was being done was not of good quality. And as a result, those patients were needing root canals. And so that really terrified me. But then I started seeing that same doctor doing really, really well. Like how can a doctor who's not doing like the greatest work do so well? And then it was his personality. He was just so charming, like lovable. Patients loved him. He had that ability to be likable. And because he was likable, he was listenable to. And that's why people trusted him. It was as simple as that. So for me, I realized I had to do that, but then they were also writing off a lot of stuff. So I'm like, wow, like on an average, we were billing all this amount and we're only collecting 80% of it. And so naturally I realized like, wow, I have to work so much harder because as an associate, that amount was being written off from my accounts as well. So it just, those two things together kind of allowed me to develop the vision for what I wanted to do kind of moving forward. And I made a vow and my dad was integral in that decision as well. He's like, Azeem, you know what? Whatever you do, don't compromise on your values. And this is something we're taught in our religion. And he's like, you need to carry it forward in your life as well, that you'll still do well. Don't worry. You know, you might lose here, but in the grand scheme of things, whether it's upstairs with the big man himself or whether it's down here, like those things are going to pay off.
And do you find that the patients, obviously you're likable, they like you. How do you also show them that you're providing excellent work for them? Because I find that's kind of hard to show the case to the patient, to assure them that what you're doing for them is the best as well.
Well, this is another thing that I realized as an associate. Imagine that somebody's providing poor quality work, their fillings are falling out on a weekly basis, and the patient comes in and says, oh, you know, I ate an apple and my filling came out. Stupid me. They're blaming themselves. How good is that practitioner, right? To have convinced the patient. Like, I mean, again, these are things that, because really, unless you're taking good quality intro photos, right? Like with a high definition intro photo, or you're doing cosmetic work where the patient can instantly see kind of the difference. They don't really know what you put in their mouth, right? As a filling, as a restorative. And honestly, even if you showed it to them, they wouldn't be as glamored about it as you would because you created a nice marginal ridge and a perfect contact. They don't care about that stuff. All they care about is, did it hurt? Were they treated well? Did you get them in and out on time? And depending on the office you have, was it covered? Right? So it's tough, right? And that's kind of where you have to really have a strong vision for that connection with the patient because you want them to come back. You want them to kind of still, you know, be amenable to more dental treatment because again, many patients don't put themselves first. And we want them to invest in their oral health because we're so passionate about it, right? This is our profession, right?
Is that one other thing I want to point out, and I think this is something that you do specifically really well, is that vision that you have in your mind is really dissipated throughout your staff as well. And just the environment that that is kind of cultivated when you come in, it's a very different feel when you walk into your office specifically. There's a little sign that says, oh, you know, please take your shoes off. There's these little, you know, slip-ons that you can kind of put on. It always smells nice in the office for some reason, especially in the mornings. There's like a fireplace on the side. I'm assuming that was a more of a strategic thing and a very deliberate action you took to kind of make yourself stand out and say, hey, you know, this is a different type of office and a different type of culture here.
Absolutely. And the thing is that we cannot, I think realizing, like you said, Bhavya, is that we cannot do anything in our dental office without a strong team. And so as an associate in particular, you're going to be thrown into a team that you may or may not fully know. And honestly, that would be your fault for not getting to know them. So when I have coached a few associates or, you know, dental students going out in the field, I'm like, you know, just as much as we're interviewing you, you want to know the team that you're going to be working with, right? You can work with the greatest dentist, but if your assistant is miserable all the time, that's going to spread onto you too, right? So you want to be in an environment where you can create positivity, you can bring positivity, and then you have to have protocols. Like in my office, it's simple. Like we just spray incense. We spray something every single morning in our office. That's just part of like turning on the lights, you spray. Like that's just the way that we operate because we have a system and we follow those systems to ensure that we can deliver a good result for the patient, a good experience, right? And that's really what's important is that their experience needs to be positive. And one of the things that I do and I lecture on for a company on, it's like a full day session on perio is, and actually if dental students were attend that session, you guys actually would laugh and say, people spent $500 here, okay, for their entire team to come out and to listen to Dr. Shake talk to about what we learn in first year dental school, which is how do you take a patient through perio? Why is it important to treat a patient in perio and diagnose perio? I spend a full day on that. Can you imagine? because we're so focused on insurance and doing crowns and implants for patients that we're forgetting to educate them on the most important thing, which is the foundation. And so I think, like, to answer your full question is just, we just have to have protocols in the system to make sure that we provide a good experience. And if you don't do that and create a positive culture in your office, like, there's offices that use bonus systems and they incentivize their team to do certain things. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really have that in my office. What I do, I find well, and there's nothing wrong with doing that because businesses do that to incentivize their teams. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I've just created this strong culture in my office that we're just doing so many amazing things that they're part of this amazing team that they just want to be a part of, right? And that nobody in the office is ever going to get in trouble for anything if what their answer is, I was doing what was best for the patient. So if you're late bringing a patient in, and now I'm like, why are you late? We're running behind. Well, it's because I was doing something for the patient that you can't get in trouble in my office. You know what I mean? So it's that strong culture that, and it's not easy to create, but you have to focus on it and you have to talk about it every single day, which is why we have morning meetings or morning huddles, which are critical when you're running a dental office, right? And most dentists don't even attend those. Can you imagine? It's mostly the staff, just the staff. So yeah.
And just kind of following up on kind of the shocking reality that you mentioned about, you know, patients wanting crowns when their perio was bad. For new grads, how do you recommend us or them going about, you know, going asking questions to a certain practice and getting an honest and true look at how that practice operates, whether it means, like, you know, from a practice culture or how it treats their patients, insurance coverage or not. How do you get that honest perspective of how they operate?
I mean, I think it goes both ways, because how do they get an honest perspective of you as an associate coming into their practice, right? So it's really, really difficult to gauge that. And I think as your initial, you know, conversation with the office manager or the doctor who's, that would give you kind of a general sense. But at the end of the day, you know, quite frankly, in GTA, beggars can't be choosers. Okay. So, I mean, you know, it's slim pickings and you just got to put in the work and see what you can get. When you start moving further away, you have a little bit more about that. But, you know, although many people walk into those offices and go, oh my God, I'm stuck with this office. It's the same way during COVID. Many people said, oh my God, COVID is horrible and I'm losing and patients are not coming in. And there's always one or two people out of the thousands of people who say, this is the best opportunity possible. This is the best opportunity because like you, you may not know what's going on in that office, but guess what? They now have Seb, Elena, and Bavia who are going to come into their office, who are going to bring in positivity, and they're going to find a way to make that practice better. And that's the mentality you have to have going in. Like, just a simple example, during COVID, patients were not coming in, FYI. I'm sure you guys knew that, right? When we opened up practices, our hygiene schedules were falling apart. So everybody was scared. My whole network was scared. I run a club for, like, I think at that point we had 200 members. So I gave away our membership for free. So we had like a group chat of like over 200 dentists. And I just sent out a simple email. I go, guys, relax, calm down. This is a good thing. Because guess what? Even though we don't have as many patients coming in, you now get to spend more time with those that are coming in. So book a comprehensive oral examination because it's been 10 years since you've done one for them. Book some time, extra time to do their scaling. Establish stronger connections with those patients that you have. Like, it's a good thing. It'll pay off in the future. They'll lead to more referrals. Or now they'll stay for their cleaning. They'll stay for the fillings the same day. Your schedule will fill up more. And that's actually what we saw happen. So there's always a few people when things look really, really bad, there's going to be those who complain. And that's fine. While they're busy complaining, it's the smart ones that are busy figuring things out because there's an opportunity there. And you have to find the opportunity. You might have to look a little hard, But there's an opportunity in every single aspect, whether how, no matter how bad it looks. So I would say this, you know, again, just to summarize that you may not get the full aspect. You can go on their website, you can check things out, you can have your initial meetings, but you got to go in every single time bringing your 110%. And I have yet, and again, my father said it very best. He's like, if you do your best, nothing bad's ever going to happen to you. It just can't. Like, it just can't. Nobody who I know who's doing what's best is broke. You know?
And that does it for the first half of our conversation with Dr. Azeem. Lots of good tidbits there. Join us next week as Dr. Azeem gets into implants, implantology, and how to carve out a niche for yourself in the field of dentistry. Cheers. See you then.